20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Once again, it is time for another rousing edition of Pack-A-Day. I'm Jake Turner, alongside my partner in crime, 32 years in the business, still writing for BobMcGinnFootball.com. He was actually covering the Philadelphia Eagles before then, and he is Mark Eckel. Mark, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, Jake. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. I don't know. I got this feel of optimism right now for the Packers coming up. I don't know why, but after doing some statistics today, I kind of felt like maybe we do need to be optimistic about this team. All right, Mark, so the Packers, it's been a frustrating time. Five slow starts, five games, but they're still 2-2-1. There's one thing that has been kind of on the minds, though, of the Packer fans, and that's got to be the play calling. So why is it so inconsistent right now?
Well, see, I rarely question play calling because, first of all, we don't know what the play call was. Mm-hmm. We're not there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We don't know what Mike McCarthy actually calls is what is done on the field. Aaron Rodgers could check out of it. Maybe McCarthy's calling more running plays. I assume that's what you're getting at. Why aren't they running the ball more? Well, we don't know. Number one, we don't know that Rodgers sees something at the line and checks out of it. And then you said earlier, the slow starts. When you're down 24-0, running the ball isn't going to help you a whole lot. When you're down, I mean, they've been outscored 42-13 in the first quarter this year. So they've been down almost every game. They haven't scored on their opening drive yet this year. That's unlike the Packers. The Packers historically have been a very good opening drive team. I mean, for years they led the league in points off their opening drive. Mm-hmm. In five games this year, it's been punt, 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 missed field goal. So they're not getting out quick enough. And, you know, and I've said this a million times, I'll say it a million and one now.
Why not?
When Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback,
yep,
you're always going to be a pass first team. And that's just the way it is. If that's not what you like, then find another. Go like the New York Giants, who have a great running back and the worst quarterback in the league right now, and you'll be 1-5. So, I mean, if that's what you want, go ahead. You could be a running team. You don't win by running the football in this league. You now, with all that said, yes, the Packers do need better balance, but you have to. I mean, the way the league is set up now, you throw to win.
So with that now, I mean, we understand this is a place pass-happy ball club here, but the running game has shown sparks of life, especially when Aaron Jones is running the ball. But he only ran it seven times
against the Lions.
Yep, they were down. So how can they get away from the passing to set up the running game and at least get some points on the board?
When you're down 24-0, you can't run the ball. I mean, that's silly to try to. I mean, you run here and there, but you can't. I don't think going into the game last week they said, well, they're going to give the ball to Aaron Jones seven times. Mm-hmm. But when you fall behind 24-0 because your kicker can't make a field goal and your quarterback is turning the ball over and you get a bad call on a punt, things happen. Mike McCarthy had nothing to do with that loss last week, okay? I'm going to say it right now. Mike McCarthy, people want to kill Mike McCarthy, fire McCarthy. He had nothing to do with that loss. Mm-hmm. The kicker and the quarterback lost that game by themselves.
The quarterback, you said. Wait a minute. I understand the kicker, but you said the quarterback. You're talking about Aaron Rodgers. Why is he blamed?
He handed the Lions 10 points. And what did they lose by? 8? I can do math, right? 8, let's see. They lost by 8. Rodgers gave him 10 directly with two awful fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
That's 10 minus 8. Yeah, Packers would win by 2. Even with all the missed field goals.
I know.
Rodgers played awful last week. And I don't want to – don't tell me he's good for 400 yards. There were garbage yards in the second half when they were already down 24-0. Rodgers, he missed open receipts. First half, he was abysmal.
Mm-hmm. He was.
Him and the kicker lost the game for him last week.
Well, the reason why I asked you this, Mark, is simply this. I haven't heard this. I haven't heard this from anybody about Aaron Rodgers. You know, they think he walks on water, but everybody forgets about that he's also human, and he was also one of the reasons why they lost that game. Like you said, 24-0 at halftime. You can't win games like that. You can't just walk up to Aaron Rodgers 24-0 and go, "Hey, Aaron, can you win it for us?" They'll just give you this look like,
again, part of the 24 was on him. 10 of those 24. Right. The defense gave up what? Or the Packers, I won't say the defense. The Packers gave up 31 points last week.
Yeah.
The defense actually played a better than average game. I won't say very good, but a better than average game.
I agree.
The special teams gave the Lions 7. Or the special teams and the referee gave the Lions 7 because the ball didn't hit Kevin King. It hit the Lion player. But Kevin King shouldn't be near, or Tremont Williams has to come up and catch the ball. So special teams and a questionable call by the ref handed the Lions 7 points. Aaron Rodgers handed them 10 more. That's 17. So the defense really only gave up 14 points. I'll tell you what, if the defense gives up 14 points every week the rest of the year, Packers are going to win a whole lot of games.
Yeah, because, I mean, like I said at the beginning, is that it's time to be optimistic. It's time to push this game under the rug here. You know, they got the 49ers coming up. And I'm glad you brought up the defense.
They have to win Monday night. I mean, they have to win. And not just win, they have to look good winning.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And just like here on Pack-A-Day, we want to look good here when we are talking, you know,
sound
Packer
good.
Football.
They can't actually see us, so we just sound
we're painting the picture for them, Mark.
There you go. Okay.
This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can find us at Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can tweet me at Jake Turner Sport or Mark himself at MarkEcho08. He is feisty tonight here, but of course.
No, I'm not feisty. I mean, I'm a little bit maybe, but no, I mean, I'm tired of seeing Packer fans on Twitter just kill the head coach. Listen,
I know.
There are things that I don't agree with everything Mike McCarthy does, but
yeah.
Last week, I don't think he was to blame at all. I did not question him last week. When you fall behind the way they did, and like I said, the quarterback, and don't get me wrong, listen, I like Aaron Rodgers as much as any Packer fan likes Aaron Rodgers. He's a, you know, but I mean, let's be honest, he didn't, maybe it's the knee, maybe it's, I don't know what it is, maybe Bob McGinn pointed it out. He had a great line in his column after the game where he said, Rodgers has to stop worrying about who's not on the field and worry about who's on the field. And he was playing without two of his wide receivers. The rookies, however, Valdez, Scantling, and St. Brown, for their first ever real test, I thought both of them came out okay.
And that also gives a lot of credit to Brian Gutekunst, who drafted 3 wide receivers in this year's draft, and 2 of them showed off beautifully. I mean, how impressed were you by the rookie wideouts in the second half?
Like I said, I thought they both graded out pretty well for their first. Now they did they make some mistakes? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a penalty on MVS. He covered up the tight end. I mean, there are little things that, you know, you call them rookie mistakes, and you let them go once. But as coaches have told me for years and years and years, when it got we don't mind a rookie mistake, but you can't make that mistake again and again, because then it's just you're not doing your job. So, you know, they ran a couple routes the wrong way. I mean, you have to live with, if you're playing rookies, you have to live with some things like that, but they have to get better. But all in all, I think, yeah, both of them showed that they could be players. MVS especially, I think he could become a pretty dynamic player for the Packers moving forward. And we haven't seen Jamon Moore yet. He's he's big and fast as well. I think, you know, this might turn out to be a pretty good draft.
Wideouts, pretty impressive. Another thing is the offensive line. Byron Bell looks like he's a blessing in disguise right now, right guard. First time he's ever done guard ever in the NFL. What is James Campen getting the credit for on this?
I mean, Campen's done a nice job. Campen's been a good a good offensive line coach for a lot of years now. I mean, if you look at Packer offensive linemen, other than Brian Bulaga, who was a first round pick, he's taken fourth, fifth, you know, undrafted guys and turned them into pretty good players. I mean, you know, Lindsey, what, a fifth round pick, Bakhtiari, a fourth round pick, Lane Taylor, undrafted. Go back before that, Sitton and Lang, middle round picks. So I mean, this guy's pretty good. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he's just a pretty good coach, and he gets the most out of what he's given. You know, Byron Bell looks like, I mean, to me, just looking at him, physically looking at him, he looks more like a guard than a tackle, doesn't he? Like, he's not long and lean. He's more of that brawler type, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been able to open up some nice holes right off that right side, and he's been showing off the last couple weeks now. Even though Rodgers has been sacked six times, a couple of those sacks have been his fault.
Yeah,
it's also
he
because
holds
of
the
that
ball
injury.
Too darn long. Get rid of it, Aaron. What the hell?
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. I yelled at TV, throw the ball. I mean, he's always, see that? And listen, again, I don't want it to come across as just killing Aaron Rodgers. This isn't.
No. You're being very balanced.
But
it
seems like he's trying to make the big play. And and listen, no one can make the big play like Aaron Rodgers can. He's done it time and again. But sometimes you just have to take the small play and live for another play, and maybe it'll be there, you know, down the road.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with taking a 5 or 6 yard gain, especially on first and 10. You know, I don't mind second and 4, second and 5. That's nice. I like that. You know, it's a lot better than getting sacked and fumbling. It's a lot better than you know, second and 18. I mean, you know, I would say of those sacks, yeah, more than half were on him. I mean, the line's not going to block forever.
Yeah.
I don't care how good the line's playing; they're not. They can't hold. I mean, they're not good. You can't.
They're not a good football team, Mark. I mean, they're not. And I mean, we talked about this during the game because this is one thing we do for our fans here, of course. Is you and me, we have very good communication, and we talk during the games. And we looked at this and go, how are we losing to the Detroit Lions? They're not even good. Their defense has regressed. Their offense is all over the place. And their running game is still, well, it's still in translation right now. So,
well, it's actually gotten better. But
a little bit. A little bit. The offense has gotten better. The defense has gotten worse. That's what I see.
Yeah, well, the Packers, like I just said before.
Mm-hmm.
The Packer defense really only allowed 14 points last week. All right, two drives. I'll take that every week. If you tell me the Packers defense only allow 14 points every week, I'd say, man, that's a great defense. The offense last week, first of all, and again, I love the guy. He's probably the greatest kicker in Packer history. All right, he's right there. If he's not the best, he's number one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Mason Crosby had a nightmare day.
Yeah.
You know, you can't miss. You can't. He took 13 points off the board. I'll give him a pass on the 56-yarder. I mean, that's less than 50-50 to make that. Maybe, but he left 10 points on the board. You know, I mean, put 10 points on the Packers score. That's 33 points. That's a pretty good day.
Yeah,
it changes everything too. If they're making, you know, if he makes the early field goals, then they are running the ball more. Maybe it's not 24-0. Right, so that you know, him missing those field goals just took everything out of kilter.
So, interesting.
This looks like a team that's not very good. However, like you said, they're 2-2-1, which isn't what we thought they'd be. But if they beat a bad and banged up 49ers team Monday night, they're 3-2-1, maybe in first place if the Bears lose in Miami.
Yeah.
Maybe in first place. And they go into their bye week, which probably couldn't come at a better time, especially if they win. 3-2-1, they go into bye week. The guys that are a little nicked up, get to be healthier. Aaron Rodgers can rest that knee for another, maybe he'll get a little healthier.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the coaching staff, but Mike McCarthy, Mike Patton, the assistant coaches, whatever, to fix the flaws that we've seen, you know, Because when they come out of that bye, it gets pretty rough. You got the Rams, Patriots. What is it? Rams, Patriots.
Yes.
Dolphins, Seahawks, or something.
Yep. Rams. Yep. At the Rams, at the Patriots. So in 2 weeks, they're going to be going against two top tier offenses with the Rams and the Patriots.
And arguably two of the top four teams in the league, right?
Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, if, like you said, and this is the Pack-A-Day podcast right here on Buzzsprout. I'm Jake Turner alongside Mark Eckel. You can tweet us at Pack-A-Day podcast. And we're talking a little bit about, the Packers trying to get over this Lions loss. So let's jump into the Niners here. Monday Night Football. If there is a way that the Niners could possibly make life miserable for the Packers, what are the strengths of the 49ers?
Well, right now they're all on defense. Mm-hmm. Their defensive line is pretty good. They have three number one draft picks on that defensive line. They have Armstead, they have Solomon Thomas, and DeForest Buckner. That's three pretty good players. I mean, they're pretty good against the run. They can get after the quarterback. They haven't put as much pressure on the quarterback as they hope to, but they can. I mean, those three guys are pretty good. So the Packers' offensive line, which we just talked about, is going to have to play their A game. And then the Niners have to play. They have to play smart. And ball control, keep. I mean, if I'm the Niners, I come into this game thinking, all right, I'm gonna count on my defensive line to get some pressure. I'm gonna do a lot of zone coverage, and offensively, I'm gonna milk the clock. I'm gonna try to play like a four corners offense. I'm gonna run the ball. I'm gonna take the shot clock down to zero almost right before I snap it every time. I'm gonna try to make the game as short as possible and try to come away with a 20-16 kind of win. I mean, I think that's their only chance. And maybe hope Mason Crosby misses another four field goals. I hope that doesn't happen again. It's going to be tough for the Niners to come into Lambeau Field on a Monday night without their starting quarterback, without their probably two of their best running backs, and I think they're down a couple wide receivers.
Yes, they are.
This is a chance for Mike Pettine's defense, just as it was a couple weeks ago against the Buffalo Bills, to put up another big effort, to win the game again. I mean, the Packer defense should win this game for them this week.
So the fact is right now, the Niners offense is pretty much being ran by running back Matt Breida, who's actually been pretty good.
He's banged up.
And he's banged up. And that is something right there. So, I mean, all they have right now to handle is C.J. Beathard. Also, keep in mind that their offensive line is banged up. I mean, Joe Staley hasn't been the same either.
Yep.
So how do you get to Beathard? Shut this down and get the ball back to the Packers' offense.
Yeah, that's what the defense – I mean, the one thing the defense hasn't done a lot – I mean, the defense is better. Let's say some positive stuff, because we've been a little negative, but we have to be fair.
Yep.
But this defense has made strides. I mean, this is a much better defense – the first five games of this year than it was the last five games of last year, right? Mm-hmm. This defense has shown improvement both in the secondary, but what they're not, and even the people talk about the Packers' pass rush hasn't been that great, and it could be better. There's no doubt about it. But they are. I think I looked this up. They're fifth in the league in sacks, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And add the one that the referees took away from Clay Matthews, which was a sack, and they called him for roughing the passer, they'd be tied for third in the league in sacks. That's not bad.
No, it's not. I mean, Blake Martinez had two sacks last week as well, and I mean, he's pretty much, he has been able to step up and become that leader of that front seven right now, and it's very interesting to see here. So,
What they have to start doing on defense, let me just add this.
No, go ahead.
They have to get more turnovers. Mm-hmm. Through the glory years, Even when the Packers defense was in the middle of the pack, and the offense was carrying them. One thing that the old Dom Capers defense did when it was playing okay, mm-hmm. was forcing turnovers. They got fumbles, they got interceptions. They haven't done that through the first five games. I think they have four interceptions so far.
Yeah, it's pretty loud.
Three of them by Clinton Dix, one by Alexander. And they haven't forced many fumbles at all. Mm-hmm. So I expect this week, inexperienced quarterback, you know, not a great running back. This defense needs to come away with, I'm going to say, three turnovers. Do you agree?
Oh, without question. This is a big game for the defense to really show their stuff, because they're going to have 2 weeks to study against the Los Angeles Rams, and that will not be easy. But if this defense can come out strong, look good on national TV, and go into the bye week, that looks good for the Packers going forward. Yeah, sticking with the defense, haha, Clinton Dix had some really strange things to say about his future in Green Bay. What's your thoughts on his comments this week?
Well, you know, as a guy that covered the teams for 30-some years, you kind of like a player being open and honest with you. So, mm-hmm. From that perspective, I admire him. You know, I mean, listen, I guess I don't know what the question was to him. I'm assuming he was asked about his future, and he made it clear that he doesn't expect to be here next year. And I kind of see his point, because usually the Packers, if they wanted him, and he must know that they haven't even talked to his agent. And if they're not even talking to his agent, then they probably are ready to move on. With that said, anything could still happen. I mean, he needs to play well enough for them to want to keep him, mm-hmm. right? I mean, or for anybody else to want him, for that matter. So it's kind of on. I mean, he could say whatever he wants. And what was the quote he said? He's auditioning every week or something to that effect. Well, if he really believes that, well, then he better play a little better.
So with playing better here, how do the Packers beat the Niners?
Show up. Show up as the Green Bay Packers. I mean, the Green Bay Packers are, you know, two touchdowns better than the 49ers. It's Aaron Rodgers versus C.J. Beathard. That alone should, I mean, seriously, that alone is worth 14 points, right? Right now there isn't anything. I mean, we're complaining about the Packers' offense now, you know, and rightfully so, but these two offenses aren't even close. I mean, is there anybody on the 49ers that you want right now? If you're the Packers,
I can't think of anybody
on their offense. No, there's. No. I don't think there's one. Like you mentioned, Joe Staley. Yeah, at one point he was great, but he's not David Bakhtiari. He's 10 times player Joe Staley is right now. I don't think there's one player on the 49ers that I would take on their offense that I would take on the Green Bay Packers offense. So that alone. You know, that I can't imagine the Niners scoring a whole lot of points this week. Not on offense anyway. Now, special teams, whatever. I mean, I don't know. But if the Packers play their game, and they're, you know, and at home this year, they have been a lot better than the two bad losses came on the road at Detroit, mm-hmm. and at Washington, which I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying. You know, they've been. I don't see the San Francisco 49ers in their current state coming into Lambeau Field in a primetime game and going up and down the field against the Packers. So I don't see them scoring a lot. And I think as long as the offensive line plays well and Rodgers takes what the defense gives him, which should be those little bang bang, you know, crossing routes, the receivers, like you said, played, you know, showed that the young kids showed that they could make plays. Devontae Adams can obviously make plays. It looks like Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison may be back in the lineup. I like to see the Packers. Tigers get out to the comfortable lead this week, and then you will see a lot of all the Aaron Jones fan club out there can have their day in the sun or their night in, under the moon when Aaron Jones gets 15, 20 carries in a second and they roll along to an easy win.
Give us a score, Mark.
Oh, jeez. How about 27-13?
27-13. I like that. A blowout to get ready for the bye week. Yep, I'm going to go with the Packers as well. I think they need to come out. They need to blow this team right out of the water, get the plane fueled by halftime, and really show that they are ready to take on teams like the Rams and the Patriots, because they also got to go to Minnesota, and they also have to go to Chicago. So it is not going to be easy. So if they can get a big win at home on Monday Night Football on national TV, I think it could be really good for the Packers going forward. They lose, though, it's going to be an interesting conversation for the next 2 weeks. So,
well, you know, if they lose,
yes,
going into the bye week,
yes,
that's when teams make changes.
What do you mean, Mark?
Teams make changes. I mean, whether it's coaching, whether it's personnel, that's when teams usually make changes, is during their bye week, because they have 2 weeks to do them. You lose to the San Francisco, if the Packers lose at home to the San Francisco 49ers, something has to give. I don't know what, but something, they can't say, oh, everything's fine. I mean, something has to happen if they lose at home to the 49ers. Don't you think?
Yeah.
What a job. I don't think there's a chance it could happen. But
I see where you're going, Aaron. I think every Packers fan is shaking their head yes right now. If they lose to the Niners, heads are going to roll.
I'd make anybody a bet that the Packers win this game this week. I mean, just we're talking straight up, no points. I'd bet anybody that wants to bet me the Packers win. But if they don't, and I don't care how they lose, if they were to lose the game, I don't care if it's a bad call. I don't care because it shouldn't come down to a bad call. Mm-hmm. If they lose, something goes during the bye week. Somebody or something goes during the bye week. And rightfully so.
Well, Mark, I'll perfectly quote to what a good friend of mine, a 49ers fan, said. This team should be 1-15. That's what he told me. So think about that. If the Packers do lose,
he's being a little too hard on them.
Oh, come on!
They'll find a way to win another game. So their defense—that's not a terrible defense. Like I said, that's a pretty good. That's a good front four they have there.
Yeah, but isn't it better? Isn't it better to be an optimistic Packers fan than one that, as the Niners are right now, which is not optimistic about the future?
They'll win more than one. I mean, they're
and
they're going to get three. They're not getting their quarterback back, but they're going to get some of those offensive players back. And like I said, that's why I only picked 27. You know, I don't see Green Bay scoring 40 points against it. This defense, like I said, front four, very good. Reuben Foster, a little bit of a nut job, but a very good football player. They still have Richard Sherman. You know, he's not what he was, but he's not bad.
Very good.
You know, there's some talent on that defense.
Yep.
I mean, hey, listen, I'm gonna be honest. Before the season, when they had Jimmy Garoppolo quarterback and other guys on, I thought the Niners had a very good chance to be a wild card team.
Man, you drank the Kool-Aid, Mark. You drank the Kool-Aid.
Well, I didn't know their quarterback was going to get hurt the third game of the year.
No, but at the same time, I still didn't think that they were very good. I think that defense was still lost and had a lot of building still to do. But, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo gone, that was big loss. I didn't buy into the hype.
Have you looked at how bad this NFC – I mean, a bad team is going to make the playoffs out of the NFC.
Yeah, I know.
If Garoppolo doesn't get hurt, I still think the Niners would have been to the second wild card.
Yeah, but the NFL wants to take care of their quarterbacks. But that
last year.
That's a topic for another time, though, of course. So, Mark, great stuff, man. We could go on for hours if we wanted to and still be able to entertain this audience. But, Mark, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks, all right?
And we'll be talking about what are we talking about? We'll be talking about the bye week, right?
Yeah, maybe we could do some bonus coverage on Turning Points. Just a thought. A little
whatever you want. Let me know. All right.
All right, Mark.
Take care, man.
All right. Well, that was probably about our most interesting conversations. That's when you started teaming up, doing this Pack-A-Day podcast every other Saturday morning, right here on Buzzsprout and iTunes. If you missed this at all, you can find it right there. Tweet us at Pack-A-Day Podcast, myself at Jake Turner Sport, or Mark at Mark Echo 08. Boy, this is a conversation you don't want to miss. Now, if you did get to the end of this podcast, here's our question for our Packer faithful out there. If the Packers do lose, what branch of this franchise needs a new coat of paint? Tweet your responses at Packaday Podcast. If the Packers lose on Monday Night Football, what needs to happen? Give us your take. We are excited to see it. Until next time, this has been your 24/7, 365-day-a-year Packaday Podcast. For Mark Echol, I'm Jake Turner, and as always, the three best words in the NFL language is go, Pack, go. See you next time. This was Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Lawson, deep down the right side. Allison in the end zone makes a spectacular catch. Did he hang on? Touchdown!
What a throw and what a catch.
They beat Kyle Fuller, and the Packers get back into it. 39-yard bomb from Aaron Rodgers to Geronimo Allison. Snap to Rodgers under a blitz. Rodgers tight pocket, steps up, throws the left, got Devontae inside the 10, head fake, cuts left to the 5, reaches, high line, and...